Thank you for the invitation to bring the word to you this morning. I draw your attention to the scripture lesson for this morning, which is found in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, reading verses 1 through 13. Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 13. Let us give ear now to the reading of the Word of God. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-Beor. For all the men that followed Baal-Beor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord thy God commanded me, that ye may do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, and hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I have set before you this day? Only take heed to yourselves, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from the heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy son's son, especially the day that thou stoodest before me, the God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days, that they may live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye shall come near and stood upon the mountain, and the mountains burned with fire into the midst of heaven, which darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke unto them out of the midst of the fire. And ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them upon two tablets of stone. Now may the Holy Spirit, which inspired these words to be written without error, grant to our hearts understanding of this portion of his word. Let us ask the Lord now for his mercy upon us as we open up the scriptures. O Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We do thank you for your written revelation. We do thank you that we have it in our own language, that we might study, meditate, and be obedient. Bless your word today. Glorify your beloved Son. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I draw your attention to the text. It's Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, the ninth verse. This is the text. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. I divided this text into three parts. First, keep watch over your souls. The problem of forgetting and departing from the Lord. And then third, the responsibility of teaching the children. It's very interesting in the text itself that the word in the received text, take heed and keep, are identical words. They mean the same thing, the same word exactly. When we drop down, we see also that there is the word, lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. And there, the word forget and depart are different. To forget and to forgive and to depart are two separate words, but to take heed and to keep are the same identical teaching. Now, for other verses that teach this same teaching, I draw your attention to Proverbs 19:16. So if you turn in your Bibles with me to Proverbs 19:16. Reading now from Proverbs 19:16. He that keepeth the commandments keepeth his own soul, but he that despises his way shall die. This is Proverbs 19:16. He that keepeth the commandments keepeth his soul. And we're talking about guarding one's soul. I draw your attention next to Matthew's account of the gospel, the 22nd chapter. So if you would turn to me to Matthew 22, 36 and 37. Master, what is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now just generally speaking, people are in agreement that this 37th verse teaches that we are to love God with the whole man. The whole man is to be concentrated upon Him. And we are encouraged by the passage in Deuteronomy that we are to keep this and not let it depart from our lives. Now I'd like to draw your attention to the warnings this passage gives us. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Luke's account of the gospel. This is Luke's account of the gospel. It is the 12th chapter and the 16th verse. So this is Luke 12, starting with the 16th verse. And he's making a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to sow my fruit. And he said, This I will do. I will pull down the barns and build greater, and then will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods, heaped up many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now here we find a person who is in love with his soul, not the Lord. His God is his wealth, and his soul clings to his wealth. And Jesus is exhorting us concerning this type of individual that his wealth is getting in the way of properly protecting his soul. So wealth is the problem. Now the second point Jesus gives us is we are not to forget or depart from the Word of God. We are not to forget and we are not to depart. Now notice these teachings. I draw your attention to Isaiah 49. If you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49:15. Notice, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget them. Now what the Lord is saying, as a woman's natural tendency is to feed her child, Israel is to be committed unto the Lord. But Israel is not committed unto the Lord. I draw your attention to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2:32. I draw your attention to Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah. This is the second chapter. And it's the 32nd verse. This is Jeremiah, 2nd chapter, the 32nd verse. Can a maid forget her ointments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. So that which is very basic, a maid with her jewelry. But Israel has forgotten God. Now I'd like to draw your attention to a New Testament passage that teaches this same teaching. I draw your attention to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Hebrews, the second chapter, the first verse. Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We should give earnest heed, referring now to the soul. We're going to give earnest heed to the soul, lest we let them slip. Next, I would like to draw your attention to Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, parenthesis, draw back his soul, my soul, God says, will have no pleasure in him. So we have the responsibility of keeping the soul. We are not to forget how easy it is to forget the things of the Lord. Forgetting comes natural in certain areas. Those of you that have studied languages, you know it takes about a year to memorize a certain amount of vocabulary. And then if you go 1 month and you don't study those vocabulary words, you forget them. Go swiftly. And God's exhortation is don't forget. Don't forget. Don't let them depart. Now for the application. Now we turn to the application. I want to draw your attention to the application. And this is Luke 19:14. So if you turn in your Bibles with me to Luke 19:14. This is Luke, 19th chapter, 14th verse. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. Now one of the main reasons, I believe, that people withdraw and allow their soul to depart from the Lord is because they know what the Lord demands of them. And this passage in Luke 19:14 gives the philosophy not only of this day, but of yesteryears and of the future. This is a problem that people have. We will not have this man to reign over us. This is the philosophy of the day. We will not have this man to reign over us. Now, how do we see this in our lives? We are to give the Lord our time, talents, and money. This the Lord owes. We owe to the Lord to give Him our time, talents, and money. And there comes a time in many people's lives that they say, I want to do with what I have the way I want to do it. I want to be the boss of my time, my talent, and my money. And they know in their hearts that the Lord demands their time, talents, and money, but they come to the place of their life that they do not want Christ to rule over their lives. Now, how do we see this? We see this in the fact of people's practices in their religion. You have people who will be faithful to Sabbath school, morning and evening and prayer meeting, and there come a time in their life they say, it's enough, it's enough. I want Wednesday night for me. So they cut out prayer meeting. That doesn't mean it's a loss, but it's not a particularly good sign. If a person has been faithful to prayer meeting and all of a sudden he quits, and you ask him, why did he quit? And if he says, I want the time for myself, not for you, and we got a problem. Now, it's eternal salvation, we're not discussing that. But you see, people stop attending the means of grace because they want control of their lives. And God says, you should be careful on your soul and to practice holiness and place yourself under the preaching of the Word. Now, we find in Galatians 5:13, I'll not have you turn to these verses now because of my time. But Galatians 5:13 says that we are to serve one another. This is Galatians 5:13. We are to serve one another. Now, why is that a particular problem? Well, because you have a life of your own. You have a wife, you have children. You have a responsibility of them, for them. And God says, yes, you do have a responsibility of your family, but you also have the responsibility to serve others. And sometimes people of God say, I can't give them any more time. God says, take care of your soul. And part of the responsibility of taking your soul is to serve one another. John 15:12 says, we are to love one another. That's what God's command is to you and me, to love one another. And I tell you, as a Christian, that this is not always easy. There are people who rub us the wrong way. And sad to say, they are in Presbytery. And God says, you got to love them. And I say, God, they're not lovable. And He says, it doesn't make any difference. They're mine. And because they are mine, then you are to love them. And you say, well, I'll try my best. No, I don't want your best. I want you to submit to my authority. So we are to love one another. We are to love our enemies. Again, it's very easy not to speak to your enemies. Very easy. Very easy. God says you speak to them and you love them. And you say to the Lord, but they're my enemies. I don't care if they're enemies. You love them. And you see, this is why people depart from the Lord. Because they don't like the rules. Rules of God says, you love your enemies. Because I loved you. And then Philippians 2:4, it says, look on the things of others. Now, every husband is here gathered. Know that you have a dear list that your wife has for you to do in the house and in the yard. And you try to faithfully fulfill those rules. But you see, God says, not only must you obey the list that your wife has given to you, but you are to learn to serve others. Serve others. And you say, Lord, I'm too busy obeying my wife. He says, that's all right, but you have to obey others too. You have the responsibility to look upon the things of others. And you are to take a look out through the congregation. And you say to yourself, well, who needs help? How can I be of service to them? And this is a responsibility. You see, that's why people draw back from the Lord. Because they don't want to give Him their lives. They want to just part their lives. And God says, you are my people. And you will look for the things of others. Now, this is this very strange situation that we have. You take a family who were outside of Christ and came to Christ by faith, and they fall in love with the Lord Jesus. And they say, every time the door of the church is open, we will be there. My father-in-law worked 8 hours as a carpenter, and he'd get home Wednesday night, and he'd wash, get the family, put them in the car, and go to prayer meeting. Came to Sabbath school, they went to Sabbath school, they went to morning evening, they went to evening worship. Because they were committed to Christ, and they wanted their children to be raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now here's where the problem comes in. Sometimes, that second generation is not as faithful. Their parents were faithful. And they say in their lives, oh, I'm not going to be like my parents. But some of them are. You think about it in your mind, you know that you know families that are faithful to the means of grace, and you know that their parents are faithful to the means of grace. So that's not impossible to have a second generation that's faithful to the means of grace. You can think about them. And you know them in your mind. You come to the third generation and you have got a problem. You take a family that's been faithful to the means of grace. Second generation is faithful. But that third, I cannot think of a family. I can think of a lot of families, second generation, that were faithful. But I do not know one. I don't know one family in the third generation that was faithful as their parents in the first generation. They do not have it in their heart. I think it's obviously a spiritual problem. But that's what happens in the church. People love the Lord. They raise their children up to the Lord. But you come to third generation and you can't find them as faithful as their grandparents. That's just an observation. That's just an observation. But you see, there's also another problem with keeping the soul. And I draw your attention to 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When a child of God starts practicing sin, whether it be lying, gossiping, drugs, pornography on the internet, and gambling. I'm not going to beat anybody over the head on the internet, but I get in and off the internet as fast as I can. In and off as fast as I can. I don't spend a lot of time in the internet. Now, I'm not saying that if you do it, you're doing something wrong. I'm just saying this. I'm just talking about me. Just talk about me. I'm not talking about anybody else. But I know pornography is a problem. Everybody tells us pornography is a problem. And if a person doesn't confess this particular sin, they have got a problem. Because they're not confessing their sins. 1 John 1 says that we are to confess our sins. And there are individuals who are not repenting of their sins, whatever they might be. And God says this has to be dealt with. If you don't deal with it, you're not dealing with your soul, and you're departing from the Lord. So, we must listen clearly to 1 John 1:9. We are to confess our sins, and we are to number our sins before the Lord. And now, we come to the last part of our text concerning the children, responsibility to teach the children. I like this passage in Job. If you turn with me to Job. Job 42:16. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even to the fourth generation. Fourth generation. Then turn with me to 2 John. 2 John 4. I rejoice greatly that I have found thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Lord. That's 2 John 4. Now I want you to turn over to 3 John verses 3 and 4. But I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as it walketh in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Now whether those children be Christian or blood, it is very true. It is very true that you delight, when you delight that your children walk in the truth. No greater joy than a parent has to know their children walk in the truth. They tell me this story. I'm sorry, I can't remember who this gentleman was, but they tell me that there was this minister. There's three generations of pastors, grandfather, father, and child. And they said of these three pastors that they were so connected that if one of them had to quit his sermon because of an ailment, that the next person, child, could stand up and start with the same text and carry it to the end. They were synchronized, these three generations. I think that's beautiful. I wish someone who had told me the story would have told me their name. But I'm sorry, I don't have the names. But the exhortation of Deuteronomy. Let's turn back to our text. Deuteronomy. I say to you, I say to myself, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy son's son. Let's pray. Father, thou art a great God and greatly to be praised. And Father, by your Spirit, enable us to keep our souls. Enable us to walk before you in truth. O Father, submit us to your authority. And would you remember any who may be among us this morning who are outside of Christ, that you would bring conviction of sin upon them, that they might rush to Christ. Be with those who may be among us this morning who have been sinning and have not been confessing this sin. They've been hiding this sin. This sin cannot be hid from you. Let them understand it is an absolute folly to believe they can hide sins from you. Oh, Father, may they repent and draw nigh unto you in fellowship in Christ. Be with the beloved. Encourage us all, for we do ask it in Christ's name. Amen.